Consider what is written in the Exposition of Christian Doctrine by Seminary Professor and Premartyr Patricius Ioannis, copyright 1898-1925. Quote 170. From whom do bishops hold their jurisdiction? From the Pope. 171. From whom does the Pope hold his jurisdiction? From Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man. 172. What sort of bishop would he be who did not hold spiritual powers from the Pope? He would be an intruded or schismatical bishop. 173. What sort of pastor would he be who did not hold his powers from a lawful bishop? He would be an intruded or schismatical pastor. Unquote. From this Exposition of Christian Doctrine. Do you agree that the seminary professor correctly told us in 1898 how Catholics should identify schismatic, intruder bishops and priests? Do you agree that the Catholic Church does not change her teachings? Therefore, do you agree that Bishop Rosales, all the other traditionalist movement bishops and priests, and those who come from the Novus Ordo sect are schismatic bishops and priests by the definition just given? Since they do not hold their powers from a lawful pope or bishop, how can anyone justify receiving sacraments from these schismatic intruder clerics day after day and week after week? Now read from Caritas, where Pope Pius VI tells us what to do about intruders. Quote, carefully beware of lending your ears to the treacherous speech of the philosophy of this age, which leads to death. Keep away from all intruders, whether called archbishops, bishops, or parish priests. Do not hold communion with them, especially in divine worship. Unquote from Caritas. Stop and think. The Catholic Church teaches that all bishops who did not receive a papal mandate for their spiritual jurisdiction, mission, and authority from a legitimate pope are schismatic, intruder bishops, and that they are cut off from the Church. Thus, we review what the Catholic Church teaches through St. Thomas Aquinas, from the Summa and from the Supplement, Question 19, Article 5, Reply to Objection 3, quote, we might also reply that by members of the dove he means all who are not cut off from the Church, for those who receive the sacraments from them receive grace, whereas those who receive the sacraments from those who are cut off from the Church do not receive grace, because they sin in so doing, except in case of baptism, which in cases of necessity may be received even from one who is excommunicated. Unquote from the Summa of St. Thomas Aquinas. Bishop Giles, you quoted Pope Pius VI reminding us that Catholics hear the voice of Jesus Christ speaking in encyclical letters. Is it clear why Jesus Christ told us to do the same, Pope Pius VI in Caritas, to keep away from all bishops who are consecrated without a papal mandate? Of course, when Jesus Christ commands us to keep away from all intruders, his order includes every priest associated with any bishop consecrated without a papal mandate. Do you agree that Catholics must not hold communion with them in divine worship, because they sin in so doing? Why do you and the other traditionalist bishops act as though you have universal jurisdiction when none of you have even been assigned to a diocese by a pope? Do you agree that you cannot name the exact boundaries of your diocese? Do you agree that Bishop Rosales cannot show the exact boundaries of his diocese? Do both bishops overlap and extend into other countries? Do you claim to have jurisdiction in any place you might want to go on this earth? Would not that imply that your claim of jurisdiction is actually universal jurisdiction? You and Bishop Rosales claim that each and every bishop receives ordinary jurisdiction and mission to function the moment he is consecrated. Just how did Jesus Christ communicate to you the specific boundaries of your diocese? Will you ever agree that for all Catholic bishops, it is only the Pope who is able to give them their mission and jurisdiction to work within a diocese? You imply in your letter that you have both a mission and jurisdiction in the Catholic Church, while you informed all of those who read your letter on the World Wide Web that I have neither a mission nor jurisdiction. Do you agree that if your intention was to make people think you have a divinely appointed mission and jurisdiction, then you have acted very deceitfully? Do you agree that not only the ignorant Catholics will be deceived into accepting that you or any other traditionalist bishop have been sent, have a divine mission, and were appointed to a diocese? Pope Pius VI teaches that none of the schismatic intruder bishops should be revered by the faithful as divinely appointed successors of the apostles. Do you agree that the reason Catholic bishops should be revered by the faithful is because they are divinely appointed to their diocese by the Pope? Do you agree that those bishops who did not receive a divine calling and appointment to a diocese from a Pope are not Catholic bishops, but schismatic intruder bishops who should be shunned by the faithful? Do you agree that such bishops are schismatic intruder bishops by the very fact that they do not carry on apostolicity? When Pope Pius XII speaks of those who are divinely appointed, my understanding is that a divine appointment takes place only when the right order is obeyed and carried out in the Church. Right order means that Christ's authority is transferred to the Pope, from the Pope to the bishops, and from the bishops to the priests. Thus the divine head, Jesus Christ, is understood to be at work in every appointment. This could be analogous to why an obedient religious recognizes in his superior the voice and authority of Jesus Christ, even though religious superiors are not Jesus Christ. However, do you agree that not one of those superiors has any jurisdiction over others unless those superiors themselves receive their jurisdiction through the divinely instituted chain of command? I assume that we agree that jurisdiction is of divine origin and that no Catholic priest has ordinary or delegated jurisdiction unless he received it from a Catholic bishop who actually possessed ordinary jurisdiction himself. But you and Bishop Rosales do not agree with me that no bishop has jurisdiction unless he received it from the Pope. Do you agree that no Pope has universal jurisdiction from the divine head, Jesus Christ, unless he accepts the office of the papacy to rule the Catholic Church as its supreme pontiff? Is not that how and why jurisdiction is of divine origin? Because it comes from the divine head of the Catholic Church through the unbroken chain of command. Although valid orders might be present in some of the intruder clerics, do you agree that not one of them has ordinary or delegated jurisdiction because they did not receive it from the divine head of the Catholic Church through his vicar? Do you agree that no bishop is divine just because it is through him that priests receive ordinary or delegated jurisdiction, and that no pope is divine just because it is through him that bishops receive ordinary or delegated jurisdiction? Do you agree that the Church teaches that all jurisdiction begins with the divine head, Jesus Christ? Although elected by humans, the Pope is given his divinely appointed office when he accepts the papacy. Do you agree that it is through this divinely appointed office that this newly chosen sovereign pontiff has his mission, authority, and jurisdiction to divinely appoint bishops to various dioceses throughout the world? Do you agree with my understanding of, quote, divinely appointed, unquote? We are not traditionalists or modernists. Bishop Giles, in your fifth paragraph, you wrote, quote, we are not, quote, traditionalists, unquote, nor are we modernists or of the Novus Ordo. We are Roman Catholics, unquote, from Bishop Giles's letter. Why is it that you say you are not traditionalists? As far as I can see, the main thing that you think separates you from the rest of the traditionalists is that you believe you have ordinary jurisdiction and authority, whereas the other traditionalists do not. But as this letter demonstrates, you do not have ordinary jurisdiction and authority in the Roman Catholic Church. Therefore, how are you different from any other traditionalist sect? In your mind, what are the characteristics found in traditionalists that puts them into this group of people that you wish to disassociate yourselves from so adamantly, determinately, and resolutely? For me, some of those characteristics would be: most of the traditionalist clerics trace their lineage of holy orders back to 1. The Old Catholics, or 2. Archbishop Thug, or 3. Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. Many traditionalist clerics do not like to include some of the sects stemming from the Old Catholics, Archbishop Thuc and Archbishop Lefebvre, branches as part of the traditionalist movement. Nevertheless, these hundreds of traditionalist clerics and sects are all connected because they all come from one of the above three trunks of the separated churches. None of the traditionalist bishops received a papal mandate. None of the traditionalist clerics have ordinary or delegated jurisdiction, nor have they received authority or a mission from the Church. Most of the traditionalist clerics offer their Mass services in Latin. Traditionalists follow the rules of their sect leader rather than the rules of the Church or a particular religious order. These rules may pertain to style of governance, Church doctrine, various disciplines, interpretations and application of canon law, the choice of liturgy, the rules of religious bodies. Consequently, there is no unity among the various sects. For example, some traditionalists use the Mass prayers of Pope St. Pius V. Some groups, such as the Society of St. Pius X, use the liturgy of John the 23rd, while still others use the prayers of some other Vatican II, quote, Pope, unquote. Traditionalists are notorious for justifying their disparity with the Church and each other by making statements to the effect that, quote, canon law is not for our times, canon law is only a norm for our guidance. Epikaya saves our day and take God's unwanted laws away. Epikai allows us to do everything we do, unquote. Many traditionalist clerics have been accused of and are suspected of being involved in homosexuality or other acts of immorality. Many traditionalists were former members of the Novus Ordo or traditional Protestant sects. However, most of them were not required to officially profess the faith and abjure their non-Catholic errors. Traditionalist clerics are confused on who is in the Church and who is not. Therefore, they are not consistent on the Church's requirement for the formal observance of the abjuration of error and profession of faith prior to ministering the sacraments to the faithful. Some require it, others do not, and others pick and choose when it is required. Many traditionalists clerics show a special favoritism or preferential treatment to certain members of their parish, especially, as has been known to be the case, if those members are wealthy. Jordanes clerics often do whatever it takes to persuade, influence, or convince parishioners to fix their last wills so that the cleric or organization will receive an inheritance upon their deaths. Parishioners' problems brought to the attention of certain traditionalist clerics are frequently ignored. Many conscientious and caring parishioners who speak up against wrongs also risk being severely rebuked, dismissed from employment, denounced from the pulpit, expelled from the community, or threatened with eternal damnation. All traditionalist groups demonstrate cult-like characteristics. A number of traditionalist clerics are secretly, and some very openly, involved in mind control, hypnotism, superstition, Satanism, Freemasonry, Trento, and other occult things. All the traditionalist clerics that I know belong to a separated church. The old Catholic branches of the traditionalist clerics separated from the Catholic Church to start their own church. The CMRI sect claims it separated from the old Catholics to start another separated church. CMRI traditionalist clerics separated from each other to start various churches. A few stayed with Bishop Schuchart when his community separated in a big way in 1984. From those few clerics, Bishop Schuchart consecrated two more bishops who can carry on making more separated churches. Most of the CMRI traditionalist clerics who separated from Bishop Schuchart in 1984 chose to continue on their separated work in various different branches of the Thuk line. Some remained members of CMRI, while others went independent from the rest to start their own new churches. After the Novus Ordo sect separated from the Catholic Church to start its own church, Archbishop Thuk, to some extent, separated from the Novus Ordo sect to start his own churches with their many diverse, numerous, and contradicting beliefs. I write that Archbishop Thuk, to some extent, separated from the Novus Ordo Church because he never did abjure his errors, nor was he ever received back into the Catholic Church by anyone with jurisdiction. The Archbishop signed the heretical decrees of Vatican II, acknowledged the Novus Ordo quote, popes unquote, as the valid vicars of Jesus Christ before and after he started various branches of his churches, and remained an archbishop in the Novus Ordo Church until his death. As an aside, I would like to clarify that, quote, Archbishop, unquote, Thuk was never actually an archbishop in the church. Antipope John the 23rd did not have authority to name Bishop Thuk Archbishop of Hue on November 24, 1960. I use the title Archbishop because that is how Bishop Thuk is known throughout the world. That being clarified, I now proceed. The Thuk line sect separated into quite a variety of separated branches of their traditionalists. These include the Palma de Troia branch, which claimed Marian apparitions and proceeded to follow their own self-appointed pope. The Palma de Troia Church then separated into many branches. Later, Archbishop Thuk started the Cassisicacum branches, which espoused the Papa Miltiarietor non familiariter ideology, and their Thuk line branches include both Sede Vacantis and non Sede Vacantis. A number of these have ties and connections to the old Catholics and Russian Orthodox churches. There is, of course, the Mexican branch of the traditionalist clerics, which again separated itself into several more branches in Mexico. Part of the branch spread to the USA, and from there it separated again into the, quote, west of the Mississippi, unquote, for Bishop George Musey's sect, and, quote, east of the Mississippi, unquote, for Bishop Vizalius's sect. Both of these two branches split again to make more separated branches. Part of the west of the Mississippi branch has spread back over to the old Catholic Church, while on the east side of the Mississippi, the Franciscan branch had one of its priests break off from the ordaining bishop to continue yet another separated branch. Another separated branch from the divided Mexican branches grew into some of the CMRI branches.